Okay, Wes, we got to start meeting. Stop meeting like this.
I know. You know, these rack and stacks, we were just talking to the great Ben Gay III and, you know, friend of the show and friend of you and I as well. But, you know, these rack and stacks, he said he loves that name. But boy, I got to tell you, sometimes they can be taxing. And, you know, we're lucky enough to not only have just incredible people, you know, from sales and marketing and authors and you name it. But, you know, the way this show got started was bringing people from the industry. And, right. You know, we have just that today and can't wait to, you know, introduce everybody to David Yoder.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the fun thing with David, I've known him for at least a year now. And he's the head of marketing for one of my great customers and friends in the industry. And what's really exciting, as you just said, is that we not only do we have a guy that we could just talk to him about marketing, even if we didn't really know him. But he's also from the industry, which makes it just like doubly cool. That's like a double stuffed Oreo, which I don't
eat. Well, those are good. You know, yours truly like a good cookie. I mean, I'd be a liar. Nothing else. You can see I love them. But well,
you know what? I posted. I'm gonna go quick. But I posted this morning. I did jump off the wagon just a little bit on my pretty strict, disciplined health fitness regimen with my great grandson's birthday party. And I had three little cupcakes. They were little, but you know, I talk about being disciplined. I ate them. A three-year-old little guy that you love to pieces, that's your great grandson, says, "Papa, have a cupcake." I don't care what. Yes. Would you like another one? Yes, I would.
There's two things that a grandchild will do. One, I have no idea what that was.
That was nice. What can I have that too?
Zero idea what that was. That was nice. How that happened, but. Was it me putting my fingers up?
That was weird.
Man, I do not have anything programmed for that. So what that was, I have no idea.
Still cool.
I will tell you this. The cupcake is one. You cannot say no if they bring you whatever. The second thing is, if they hand you a phone, you talk on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Or otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, want to say hi? Hey, how are you?
That's right.
Now, I don't care if you're the biggest, burliest, meanest looking, you know, motorcycle gang rider guy. Oh, he's going to, "Hi, little guy, what's up?" Right?
That's right. Yeah. I will always talk and, you know, whatever it is. So, hey, I'll tell you what, instead of John about talking on fake phones and eating cupcakes, how about we bring on David?
You think we should do that? What do you think?
I think so. He's a lot better than me.
Well, I don't know, but you're pretty cool, but David is pretty cool too.
So. I wouldn't know whether to wind my butt or scratch my watch when it comes to metal interior. I can tell you that.
You're going to find out in just a minute. Let's go. Let's just go.
All right.
Hey, let's go, you knuckle nuts. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
David Yoder Jr., what's up, buddy?
How are you?
You know, it'd be, I don't know, I like to say near perfect, but I like to leave a little room for improvement, so I'm working on it. Life is good, man. You know, and I say perfect and people will go, that sounds kind of, you think a lot of yourself or you're almost arrogant or egotistical. But, you know, when you love what you do and do what you love, it's kind of close to perfect, right?
Yeah. One of my favorite business phrases is, don't let the perfect get in the way of the good.
There you go.
Embrace life when it's good. There's going to be plenty of times when it's not.
Exactly.
And if you have this delusion that it's going to be perfect at any point, it may be that way, but it's usually very, very temporary.
Exactly. So, David, as we get started, I'm not going to read your bio here because it's about 12 pages long of great stuff. but I know you're a multi-year, a decade, I think, of being a marketing professional. And you know, as we've talked in person, in your metal exteriors position there. I should say that you are the marketing director at Metal Exteriors, which is a Shiloh, Ohio, incredible operation in the metal roofing and post-frame building world, and a customer of mine, which I appreciate tremendously. But more importantly, and I appreciate that a lot, because I do like to get paid some now and then too, but I do really just enjoy the friendship of good people in the industry. Yeah. And you know, you've brought so much to this company that already had so much to offer. And so that's why I'm glad that you're on today, so we can talk about the industry, talk about Metal Exteriors, talk about your philosophies, and just talk marketing in general. A couple of us guys that love what we do and do what we love for the next 30 minutes. So, hey, thanks for being here, my man.
Thanks for having me, Randy. This was something I circled on my calendar and told everybody involved in my life. I will be gone on this date for this time, including this person calling my phone.
If that's an order, if that's an order for anything I sell, we can wait.
No. That's somebody who is seeking money from me. So they can wait.
Yeah, you can wait. We don't want to do that. So anyways, thank you. So tell us a little bit about, rather than my reading your together bio, tell us a little bit about David first and how you came to be at Metal Exteriors, and we'll just go from there, wherever there takes us.
Oh, of course. And, you know, my journey... Somebody who mentored me once said, you know, a career is a bit like a river. People call it a ladder, and that's certainly there are stair steps, I suppose, of leveling up. But I love the river analogy because it describes the shape I think it takes. And so for me, I have always known I wanted to do something creative professionally. Kicked around, came out of college during the recession when the message to student was, don't get your hopes up. And the coolest part of that experience was, I think it made me hungry from the jump. And so, and I had good people around me. I grew up in Holmes County, Ohio. We went to BG Amish school at a great school called Maranatha. Got to meet just incredible families of entrepreneurs through that experience. Dad then became a bivocational pastor and finance professional. So I got a good education at home and a good education elsewhere. And I've been up in this area ever since, the last 20 years of my life. This area means a lot to me. I went to high school here and then graduated. And I actually went to the Ohio State University branch just down the road. So they had a program that allowed me to stay at home and get my bachelor's, which financially set me up for success. And I started working right away. Public relations at Ohio State, spent a decade in media and advertising, specifically then specialized in revenue production for publications. And along the way, my dad had taken a couple stints at metal roll forming companies and post-frame companies. And I think I remember at one point saying, well, I'd never join this stuff. You know, I'm in the advertising world. I saw visions, and it came down to beginning of this year, I had a choice to take a position in Los Angeles or stay in my backyard. And I did what I've always done in my life. I stayed in my backyard, even though I loved the other offer very much. The reason I stayed here comes down to the influences that have always made my career and life special is I've just learned to bet on good people. And Josh Chamberlain and I had played church softball together. And I saw he was hiring for a marketing director. And I'm like, you know, I was kind of looking at a career search because I had topped out what I was doing. I said, why don't I just call Josh? It may not work out because it's just so different. It worked out to be a perfect fit. And when I heard their pitch to me, it was based on how they treat people. And I looked at their business fundamentals, how they treat people, and specifically how they invested in from a values perspective and how they invested in motivating their people and making them share in the success. I'm like, I'm all in. And I've been here ever since.
That's awesome. And I can speak from knowing your owner or majority owner. I mean, there may be some others, but Carl Zimmerman, Carl and I go way back from his early days. That's how old I am, man, thinking about that. But anyway, his early days, and I can attest to, you know, it all starts at the top and filters down.
For sure. And
the company, and we was talking off air about that, and that's the thing that, and I want us to talk about that at some point during our conversation, but I love the way not only do you have great people and a great culture, but you don't hide from that. You expose that to in your marketing every day. I see stuff 2-3 times a day from you guys all over social media. And you're not just showing the incredibly beautiful roof, which you have tons. You're not just showing the incredible, beautiful home with the nice metal roof or the board and batten siding or whatever, which looks great. You're doing those things, which is important. People still want to know what metal exterior does.
Yeah.
But I think the most beneficial things that you guys do and what always draws me to what you do is the picture of one of the guys roll forming metal or bend and trim or loading a truck or sitting at the computer doing an estimate. Those are the things that, you know, as the incredible Ben Gay III likes to say, is people buy whom they know, like, and trust. And then he added to that with a mutual friend of ours, Rob Anspach, and want to do business with, right? Feel comfortable with, I should say, right? And I mean, you guys just do that so well that when you look at your social media presence and your marketing, even if you know nothing about post-frame buildings or metal roofing other than I think I need a roof and I heard about metal, maybe that's what I ought to do. You just feel like, I think I got to go see these guys.
Oh, right?
And that's a feeling. And so talk to that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, first of all, thank you. That means a lot. That means we believe very much in our process and how we invest in people. And that's just more confirmation that it's working, I think, for us. And we, I mean, very much appreciate that. So I'm a digital marketer and I use a lot of metrics. When I'm in a dashboard, I'm using dozens of columns. There's a lot of data I rely on to do the science side of my work. But I've always said, you know, and I've been taught this from an early age, marketing itself is an art and a science. You have to understand, to be truly good at marketing, you have to understand non-quantifiables. So I use 3 non-quantifiables to judge my performance of my brand and any brand I manage or any brand I'm attached to. And I want to know 3 things. 1, what prompted people to find us? Just what did that look like? What's going through your mind? 2, when you found us, how did you feel? Like, what was the overall feeling? Were you excited? Was it meh? Or did we make you angry accidentally? Usually, hopefully.
Hopefully not, but it's good to know, right?
Exactly. Somebody taught me once on that front, because that's where people get sensitive. Feedback's a gift. Sometimes it's just an angry person. And just let them be angry, because that has nothing to do with you. All feedback's a gift. And people who are kind enough to share something legitimately that may be broken within the system, oh, it's an absolute gift. Because it's usually in a blind spot. And then on the third prong, before I could run down that rabbit trail, the third prong is, what do people remember? What sticks? Shockingly fundamental.
Yes.
Just, I heard a great phrase from Patrick Lencioni's podcast recently. People get a little sophistication bias with, like, how cutting edge is our stuff? What trend are we chasing? Oh, somebody did this that worked for them. Let's copy it. There's not any reason to abandon the fundamentals to chase the bright shiny. So much of what I do is really obvious. And that's because I learned the hard way that people want you to get out of their way on their purchase journey, their customer journey. They need you there at key junctures to get them through stuff. So the faster you are to getting them at the point of discovery, there's certainly a competitive element to that. But I think there's much bigger than being one of the 3 to 5 people they're considering is being the best you can every single day. Creating a high threshold of consistency and holding yourself to that, that's something internal. And that begins from hiring to culture, like you said, from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. The guy on the floor matters as much to our success as the most advanced C-suite level kind of conversations. Right. It just is something that we really harp on values for that reason, because the margins in business aren't that wide. And so when we're getting to how we evaluate a brand, especially this is a lot from my perspective, if we're doing a good job of taking care of people's needs and we're thinking proactively about how we've priced, how we've served, and how we've delivered, that's another thing. Everybody loves to get to the magic ring of the cash register, but the hardest part of the job is making it show up on site. That mm-hmm. you just have to be consistent. And that's where I think a lot of this getting out of your own way is probably job one of marketing.
Hmm. And so let's stick with that for a minute, because I like that theory and I know what you mean, but yep. for somebody that might not grasp that statement, what does that mean to get out of your own way? Let's elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. So I use something, the way I talk to people is them-centric. That means I work very hard to understand how they're feeling, to empathize and be their advocate through how we design digital processes, to physical processes. I want to reduce their pain as much as possible. That's the core of it. I try to understand what are their internal needs, like what's going on up here, and maybe emotion-wise. I try to understand the way they look at the world, what are the philosophical things they're just unsure of? And then what are physical problems? Like what are the actual physical barriers, things beyond both their and I's control? Like what does the shape of the problem look like? And if you look at a lot of how you talk to people, how I form language comes from a good old fashioned thing called Hero's Journey. And when I'm talking to somebody, I want them to understand I'm obsessed with giving them a good experience and actually solving their problem with a fair, consistent value. I'll ask for whatever I'm advocating for as a marketer. I'll ask for what it's worth, but I definitely cannot be in environments that go in the ditch either way. I do not believe in races to the bottom, and I do not believe in leveraging people. That sticks, sins of that type stick in people's mind for a long time. And there's no amount of reputation management that will free you from it. And so I love that middle ground. And the reason I love it is because it forces you to bring the best out of yourself every day. And then it rewards you long term. Today I walked in, had a little unexpected surprise. That was a significant deal for us. And it looks to be a significant deal. And it was just a payoff of 6 months of consistency. And I thought it was lost. No, I was like, no, it just took us a while. And that was great. Those are the experiences I live for.
So thinking about that, because we all like it as all guys usually, and a lot of women too, we like to put things into sports analogies, right?
Yeah.
So it's a marathon versus a sprinter, and you got to know the time and place for both, don't mm-hmm. we?
Oh, yeah. You got to know when to close. So you got to know crucial junctures when you've got to kick harder. I come from a family of runners. So that analogy is very easy and very apt, I think. You've got to know when to be opportunistic. That creates separation. And then consistency. Consistency is the hard part. Consistency is not necessarily like a lack of flaws, because humanity creates inherent limits. You got to forgive yourself for stumbling, because it's just the law of averages. And I haven't seen people beat that law.
Right.
But if you hold yourself to a higher standard and you keep surprising yourself with what you do, man, you win a lot of marathons. Just because most human beings are not willing to endure the painful parts of that. And that's the payoff, I think, of true consistency is just set a mark for yourself. And don't, I think to go back to, and I'm sorry, I feel like I'm rabbit trailing on this particular one.
No, that's okay. Please go where you want.
It's one of those things where occasionally I've got to take, like occasionally it's 100 meters. It's a short track, a narrow window of time, and I've got to get everything out of the system I can. And that's those moments when I see gaps in the market where I'm like, this particular metric looks like it's soft and we can take advantage. I went through one of those. We came in under budget on one of our campaigns. So I doubled down and we had, it was within strategy, but it took advantage of it. And we had to execute fast. We had to do, in particular, I got the pleasure of working for 12 hours straight on a problem. So like that one, well, maybe it's closer to 10, but you get the picture. It was a rough day. Fortunately, it was a Friday. I got to go home there for a couple of days. And those are the moments. And then other things like I am a big believer in automating the mundane. Just don't overthink it. Automate that. And then what that does is that sets me up to react to day-to-day problems. Some of those problems are functions of seasonality. Some of them are unexpected moves from the market. Others are just operational stuff, like just dealing with the limits of humanity. Right. It's okay. It's, again, I think the best lesson I learned is there's no utopia. This is not paradise. That's okay. Don't call it awful because it's not perfect, because it rarely is awful. And if it's awful, it doesn't stay that way for long. And that's the kind of, one of my mentors called it mental buoyancy that I think also pushes up consistency. And that's the thing that's probably most misunderstood about sales and marketing people is, oh, they're happy all the time. Why wouldn't you be happy? You make your own schedules. You do this. No, it looks a lot like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It looks a lot like, wow, everything I worked hard for failed. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And then it looks a lot like, this is really unexciting right now. Like this is just a slog. And it looks like hammering through some of that. And that I think is something that creates misunderstanding for people outside the discipline and field. But it's also, by the way, why I latch so hard on the really high points of what we get to do.
So, you know, staying in the sports and I trigger something, the consistency, a lot of that is in the, you have a dream, a thought, a belief, expect to win. We talked about that, but the preparation you do, is so important because in sports, if you play football, it's a good example. It'd be interesting to do them. I'm going to do this sometime, figure this out. It'd be even more interesting if I'd have done this, but I didn't. If you're a 4-year college football player.
Yeah.
Well, let's go high school. It was Friday Night Lights. I just like the sound of that.
Oh, yeah.
High school football player. The number of and let's say you're a starter all the time. I mean, you're a stud, you're a star. The number of minutes and hours, let's say, wouldn't be no more than hours, in your 4-year career on the Friday Night Lights that you are actually performing the game, if you will. Not standing, not in a huddle, not at a timeout, literally running a play versus the literally hours and weeks and months of prep work that you did over the years, it's astronomical. It's probably 98% to 2% or something. I don't know what the number is, but it's huge. So I think that falls into play here when you talk about marathoning versus sprinting. The marathon is that consistent every day. There's a certain, like you said, we automate the mundane, but there's just certain stuff that we just have to do.
Yeah.
So that you can get to that sprint for that sale, that close, that opportunity when it's there. Does that make any sense?
Oh, of course. Yeah. And a lot of the work, a lot of the mundane stuff, the game within the game, if you will, is identifying what's actually necessary. That takes a lot of, I think, again, going back to getting out of your own way. Mm-hmm. If people are on the internet and your website is horrible and you know it's not ideal, the percentage of improvement you just know to go do, like one of the things that's gnawing at me and I have to get it done after we hop off here, I have a couple broken links I became aware of. Ah, before I leave, that's going to get done. Mm-hmm. Will it make any dollars a difference in the foreseeable or trackable future? I don't know. But I do know the discipline of having the user experience set up the way I have it set up, the graphics and everything else. The fonts, the graphics, the colors get attention. But I'll tell you, I'll show my hand a little bit. The structure of my website is very purposed. I've put in years to learning website structure, calls to action, even down to pixel spacing. I have a lot of stuff in my head, and that comes from knowing that I need to get better on the overall. And so I'll get a little better at my footwork. I'll get a little better at my tackling. I'll get a little bit better about how I understand scheme. Those kind of things, I think we don't focus on enough as professionals. It's that high threshold. And that's being in this organization at Metal Exteriors, the value placed on consistency and quality of work, just doing a good job, the value they place on that creates such a high threshold of performance that they really don't have to ask people after a while. There's just an expectation. This is what we do. This is the bar. And then when people find the opportunity they know is high value, we don't have to ask them to execute on it. They know when it's go time. They know when it's peak season. That's talked about. And then investing in good people just compounds that. It's fun to come to work. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that washes out. And that's one of those where for me, when I'm looking at why does this all come back to people? It's because I think so much of business operations and so much of actually relating to a consumer comes from a daily repetition of what actually matters. And so, hey, if this really annoys somebody, as a business, we ought to attack it, no matter how small it seems to us. And to me, that looks like getting out of your own way. Hmm. If people need the product to not be dirty, and you know that you have a little bit of problem with dust control, just fix the dust control. Some of these things are so systemically eliminated. And I just made up something. I don't know if anybody has a problem with dirty panels necessarily, but right. That would be irritating because empathetically, they just laid down a significant amount of financing on their exterior project.
Right.
And understanding that it's our job to make that look like a five-figure investment when it shows up, from the time we market it to the time it actually lands, man, the driver becomes really important in that. And man, the warehousing guys are really important in that. Just as much as the marketing director, the salespeople, the customer care people, that everybody has that little segment of customer journey they touch, and understanding and making it small enough for them to manage and become unconsciously competent. But then we celebrate a lot of successes and we put that out. We keep score. Mm-hmm. So we put that out in front of people, not in a punitive way, but in a motivating way that I'll bet we can make that better. Mm-hmm. That's when it all comes together.
I love that. And, you know, you talked about the an area that it's really, I think, is super important. It gets forgotten. You talked about the guys out running the equipment, the office staff, the guys producing product, the truck drivers, whatever it is, it's an age old statement in the world of sales, right? That gets forgotten, but everybody isn't sales. Whether they have a title, a salesman, salesperson, sales rep, sales, whatever it is. Every single person is a salesperson for the organization that they work for, right? And like you said, the a lot of times a customer may be drawn to a metal exteriors because of some the excellent marketing. They say, God, I feel comfortable about these people. Look at some beautiful roofs. They seem to have great people. They're all smiling. But maybe they never come in. Maybe the only person they see is the salesman that comes out,
right,
helps them develop the project. And outside of that salesman coming back once or twice, whatever the case, depending on the scope of the project, the only other person they may see is that truck driver once or twice.
Right.
Bringing out material. Well, if that truck driver shows up, they can make or break the whole opinion of, did I make a good decision? If they're happy, they're proud to be there. They're proud to be hop out of the truck and, you know, let me move that out of the way so we can get this up close to the jet. Whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah.
I love this company. Oh, how long you been in metal exterior? Oh, I've been with them 5 years. I'll stay here forever. I love these people. Versus, they really suck. I hate this as a crap job, and I can't wait. I'm only doing this until I can find something else.
Yeah.
You know, it taints, because every thing is a sales call, and they mean sales in a good way, not a bad way.
Yeah.
Every complaint, if it comes up, every missed shipment, every damaged product, everything is an opportunity, right? Because if we do it all perfect, and this is where I want to go with this. I love your take on it. I think if we do everything perfect, which is the
ideal. Yeah. Sometimes
we're not going to. But if we do it all perfect, I have no opportunity to show you how good I really am, right? You just got what you expected. It's how you find out, man, these guys are really do practice what they preach.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, and how do you respond? Do you accept ownership? Do you apologize immediately? Are you empathetic? Do you show sympathy? Man, I'm sorry we messed you up, but here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it right now. That's a huge, huge difference between companies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My take is good companies don't trip over dimes.
Mm-hmm.
And dimes are percentages of the whole. And I think it shows up in the very smallest things. This is just something, and I'll tell a little bit of my philosophy here. I buy brand name apparel.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 20% more. So you really have to budget and you have to buy right. That I can control budgeting. I can control purchasing right. I can't make up for something cheap.
Right.
And so the guys, when they get, and again, it sounds so silly that the brand of apparel I hand my guys and my customers, but that's the way I can show them I've thought about what you put on your back and around your head, and I want you to feel good about it. And by the way, 20% more, this is the other side of it. This is the ice cold marketing theory. 20% more on that jacket is nothing when I get 100 more wears out of it per year.
Right.
Like it's the ROI is stupid high. Like if my guys are wearing the stuff they love to the Friday Night Lights, if they're wearing it to the league games they coach, if they're wearing it to church, they're wearing it to the family reunion. The coolest compliment I got in the last year was, dude, hey, if you can spare another ball cap for me, I'm so proud of this. This is going to be my nice hat. I was like, bingo.
Yep.
There is all of it come to, but I don't trip over the 20% because I'm getting 200% more wears. The guy wants two hats because he's proud to be here and he's proud to sport that brand as if it were Nike. I've won.
Yes.
There's no amount of money I could spend to get that kind of employee advocacy. And then it shows up when, you know, there's something that went wrong in the process, and that happens. And none of us love it. It's the worst day. When some of that comes, it's the worst part of our work. If we really did, and we really can make it as right as much as we can financially, I have seen every member at this team, from the top level with Carl to Josh as the sales director to Lauren as VP to the guys in the truck, just making sure the plastic's tucked under. that's when I'm proudest of our company, because that's, we had a choice and it was within our rights to meet a standard, but to see the guys go beyond that and that be a cultural thing that's called out, recognized and rewarded, man, I'm proud to be part of that team, because that's when you can do something else legitimately and you choose to do the right thing, just like we put on our core values, which, by the way, everybody has, we are family, we are committed, we prioritize personal growth of our people. We comport ourselves with humble confidence, meaning we believe in our systems, but we don't beat our chests. And then we always do the right thing. I can stand on that. Right. And I can go home and sleep like a baby. And by the way, the 20 grand on the big, that's a big size mistake for us. The 20 grand will come back.
Sure it will.
Because that person will say, those are stand-up guys. It went wrong, but I still think you should pop a roof on neighbor.
Right, right.
It comes back.
It does.
And it doesn't take many repetitions either. But had we tripped over it and had we been jerks and had we got defensive and nasty, I can't count how many neighbors we're going to lose for the next decade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Exactly. Those things will always come back to you. And, you know, I love back to the quality product, the apparel, because it's, I made a note here because I didn't want to forget. I love that concept because forget the ROI part of it, which is very accurate. And don't, you can't forget it because it's an important part. But the other part that I was focusing in on listening to you is there's a different look and feel that you give if you've got a quality shirt versus a Walmart special. Not knocking on Walmart, but I'm just saying there's a different look.
Yeah.
It makes you look, and there's a more important factor. It makes you look better to that potential customer, but you will look better to that potential customer because you just shaped up, cleaned up. You feel good. You feel proud. You feel like a pro, right? That's right. I mean, that's why when I do trade shows, I will tend to probably dress a little more formal than maybe some will.
Yeah.
But you know what? When I go to a trade show as a guy that's been in this industry as long as I have, feel like I've developed a bit of being a professional.
Yeah.
I like to put a sport coat on. You know why I like to put a sport coat on? Because that says I care. That says I am the real deal. That says I'm proud of what I do, and I'm not afraid to tell you I'm proud of what I do. Yeah. And isn't that better than an old pair of dirty shoes and a jeans that's got a little tear in them and some shirt I threw on because it's just a builder show. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what a show is. I don't really care. And so you feel better with whatever. My final point to that, I think, is I believe that every interaction I have with every person there is going to come from a higher level because I feel proud. I feel good. Yeah. I feel like a pro. Makes sense. And I think that's exactly what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's that Steve Jobs put in his product development. Do you know the percentage that Steve Jobs focused on? It was 5%. Because in his mind, people could get to a certain level of smartphone or whatever the product was. Hmm. But he would always beat them on the little heavier cardboard, the little soft touch. He was obsessed with the matte finish of the ink because he wanted it to feel different on your fingertips. And that's a little bit of design theory, but it comes back to the same thing of, are you really setting a high standard? Mm-hmm. And are you really doing the 5% extra annoying? This is the way it takes shape to me. It's annoying. The extra 5% is annoying. You can't always get the value back immediately directly. It's a long tail play. It's a play over time because the quick return stuff, by the way, are the same thing everybody wants.
Right.
I find it's just not there. Again, it's like a fantasy, a utopia vision. And you could argue with me on that, and I'm sure, but this is just the way I found it works. But it's that little 5% where you thought about how it hits their fingertips. It's the little, and there's a balance to that. I actually buy the cheapest ink pen or one of the cheaper ink pens. You know why? Because I want to buy a ton of them. I just want to have them available. I don't want to run out. But my ball caps are expensive because I want them to be special.
Right.
I don't just want to give you something that feels awful every time you put it around your scalp.
Right.
And so I've invested a lot of time in knowing which brands. And that's a weird thing to be obsessed with, man. But it matters. And I've tried to strike a balance from that side of promotional purchasing to then on the website. If they just want to call us, make it easy to call us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's annoying to answer web chats, I will tell employees who argue with me over web chats, and they don't. We have good guys here. And that's why they understand accessibility is important. Like, they don't care that it's a pain to take their chat for an hour sometimes.
Yeah.
And ask every question they want to ask. That's their right. They're making a decision that's important to them. And by the way, I come back to whether it's a few hundred dollars or five figures or six figures, they feel this business, it's simple, but it's very personal. They're creating legacies on their farms. They're creating legacies mm-hmm. with their business. And this is the roof they put over their loved ones.
Right.
So let's put that in the back of our minds a little bit. And how we comport ourselves, how we talk, and it really is a principle I believe in. I've struggled with a lot of my life. It's the putting away of self to get to what really matters. And the times I've had success in my career are the times I was able to get over myself and get out to the other 99% of the world around me that matter. Right. Because what's in my head is so full of falsehoods. And what I assume about people, Randy, the older I get, the less I know. If I would have actually known as much as I thought I knew as a teenager, goodness, my net worth would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's
not, by the way.
So true. Holds so true.
And that's I think, is true of brands. What we think we know about the customer is teenager stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we make all these assumptions and we go on the boldness of our own knowledge, if you actually reach out to people, and you actually take time to gather that data consciously and systemically better. It's not just happy talk. It's not just hugs and glad handings and handouts. There's a discipline and a science side to it I use. Yeah. And I won't get into for the sake of proprietary information.
Right on.
But when you see me doing that, it's systemic. But then it also has to have this unfakeable authenticity to it. And by the way, I don't use ChatGPT to write stories about my guys. Might use it to clean up my grammar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having a really rushed day, I hand write every one of those because I want them to know it came from me.
Right.
And I want it to be meaningful. Like mm-hmm. that's my note of appreciation. And the reason I'm doing it for every employee over the next few months, we started a couple months ago. I'm doing it for every single employee who wants to be involved. Some people, for privacy reasons, personal reasons, they don't want to be involved in it, but I think they appreciate the ask.
Right.
And that's what it's about. It's exactly. Understanding that, you know, I've had so many neat experiences with this brand that have nothing to do with our product. But here's the flip side of that. The same principle we treat each other with is the same thing that Carl designs these things with. I wouldn't want that crap on my house. So why would I make a less than quality decision? So let's make things we'd put on our house. And by the way, thing I'm most proud of around my house is the little playhouse I built for my daughters using metal exteriors products.
There you go.
It just meant a lot. I used something we didn't have use for. And it looked cool. My neighbor immediately gave me a compliment on it. He's like, holy smokes, you must have spent a fortune on that. And I'm like, well, no, it was actually clearance bin material, but thank you anyway.
Man, there you go. That's awesome.
And it's meaningful stuff. And that, I think, is if we're looking to go out here as marketers and salespeople and think we can dazzle people into business, I think you've set yourself up for failure. Making meaningful connections means you do your absolute best from beginning to end and you bet on it. And if people give you the gift of saying, you know, I think it could be better, or you don't give yourself the gift of, daggone, I worked hard today. That's, by the way, the best gift you can give yourself. because you don't go home and obsess over your work. You turn it off and you go give your kids a hug.
Yeah,
you put it a good eight and you go home. That is the secret sauce. By the way, Carl enforces that really hard. I don't send him messages, and I don't send anybody else, the leadership team, messages after four. It's the first time in my career I've done that. And that's not a slam on anybody I've worked for. There's been necessary things, but we choose to conduct ourselves because we're obsessed with the five repetitions of 8 hours. Do them well, and then go home and be a dad. Go home and be a good husband. For us guys, that's the secret to success, is because we use this job and we use the ethos with which we conduct ourselves. That becomes part of your character. And then if you're faking it, you probably won't enjoy it and you probably won't be around here. But fortunately, we have pretty good track records of tenure around here.
Sure.
And we have attracted lots of people around here. Myself being now an evangelist of something that was done to me. They valued me. They were straight up. Everything they promised me, they followed through on. And then I've wanted to model that behavior. And that's the part of marketing. When you get that, I don't think we can make a product physically. I think the physical limits to the products we can make will never be as valuable as that. Because those intangibles will last even when we have a product hiccup, a service hiccup.
Exactly.
That has staying power. The rest of the stuff, we can figure out how to put a new roller. We can figure out a new die. We can replace the whole daggone thing faster than we can build the culture we've built. And to me, that's what matters.
Exactly what matters. And you practice something as we close down, because you've been very kind with your time and you need to go home and be a husband and a dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
is that a quote I use a lot, lady author, speaker, Martha Beck: the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Yeah. Right. And I really believe that and love that. And that's what you're talking about, is how you conduct your life at home is how you conduct your life at work, vice versa. Because I'm a true believer, and right, that you can't just be this great guy at work.
Right.
And then it turns off or on when you go home. It goes both ways. You either live the life the way you should live it and do the things right all day long. Because I don't think we're humanly capable of, you can fake it here and there for a while, but anything that's faked will not be long-term and normal. But last thing, because you have been very generous with your time, should ask a question. What is the one thing that Randy forgot to ask the one and only David Yoder Jr.?
Sure. One of my favorite things. So my dad was in construction for a long time. One of the things I would really encourage our whole industry to start thinking about is the giving up of some sacred cows, because I think we have two industrial things down the road from us, and industry-wide things. Sorry, my tongue's not keeping up with my brain there.
Yeah, that's okay.
But we have two significant events, I think, coming our way. One is workforce changeover. We're losing a lot of our advanced career professionals. That means tenure. That means skill. That means a lot of just irreplaceable things. I would love for us to start discovering faster what a generational handoff looks like. Mm-hmm. Not just for our own sake, because I believe there's real benefit in starting to do that right now. But I like to think about our legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are in a position as an industry to solve a lot of problems. Do you know a good portion of people under 40 are scared they may not have home ownership? Mm-hmm. Man, I think we should fight hard to get that changed.
I agree.
I think we should do everything in our power, because we have a unique skill set to make it possible. I don't think we should get so obsessed with squeezing an extra 1% of margin out. And that's an industry. I know it's hard, because the 1% looks a lot like my quarterly bonus.
Right.
A lot like things I get to use. So that needs to be my money where my mouth is, because I'm betting over the course of a year, I'll get the 1% back.
Right.
I'm just going to work hard enough to make that happen. I know that about myself.
Yep.
The second thing I think we have an opportunity to do, I think we have an opportunity to digitize a lot faster. I think we need to really press the pedal on our operational software. And some of the things where we've been blessed with an overabundance of work, I think we need to, and this is a hard ask, I think we need to use some things to create some efficiency and some opportunities for people to grow this industry. And the reason I think that is, I think too many, and then these two intertwine. And so this is just a free soapbox. Sorry if it bores anybody. But this is good. This is something where I think if we can start to allow junior employees to do things just a little bit differently to help them take ownership and shape it, I think we'll be surprised how wide this industry can be. I think we'll be surprised how we see norms shift positively for the first time in a while. I've seen a lot of the fundamentals and norms shifting negatively in my view. That bothers me. It bothers me a lot because I intend to live on this rock for a little bit longer than the next 2 to 3 years.
Exactly.
And so I've got to start thinking long term. That's what charges my batteries when I can move that forward in my little sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think those of us who have a little career experience and are capable of operating at a high level, let's think about what we're doing to hand it off, right. what we can let go of. And then two, where did I get old? Because all of a sudden I got gray hairs and bad habits. And then I've got little daughters that tell me, Daddy, why do we do it that way? I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know what? Even though it's hard, it's not ideal for me, I'll do that for you. That same right. principle sometimes I find myself having to repeat at work. You know what? I didn't think of that, mm-hmm. but I'm the guy. I want to commit being the advanced career professional as I head towards my 40s and 50s. That's the next sprints, which is not too old, by the way. That's about the middle. I'm mm-hmm. just barely getting through the early stages. I want to think a lot about what I can do to get my ego out of the way, to make right. other people. Because I do not intend to work as hard as I worked for the last 15 yeah. years. I'm running out of energy and I've got way more responsibility. Right. How many people can I bring along the way? That's where I think this work becomes, in some ways, eternal, mm-hmm. Spiritually and otherwise.
I love it. And love the attitude. And when you talk about bringing other people along and you talk about furthering the benefit of the industry, what you're doing is you're taking it out of, it's just a job. It's just kind yeah. of where I get a paycheck. I talk a lot about love what you do and do what you love, right? Because I do. I live that every day.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you live that way and you can conduct yourself that way in all aspects of your life, it becomes a pretty easy, not that there's not challenges, not that there's mm-hmm. not moments and days, because we have, that's part of life. But man, it just gets easier to do all that and more joyful to do all that if you just are taking that mentality wherever you go. And you know what? It issues, problems, whatever, we'll fix them, but we'll look beyond today. Like you said, and I love that as an industry, we need to look beyond today and leave a legacy. What can we do to help make this a better industry for the younger ones, in my case, a lot younger, but in your case, younger ones coming up to leave it a better place. And I mean, I know that sounds very philosophical or spiritual or whatever, not very business-y, right?
Sure.
But I think that makes sense. And I think if we operate from that standpoint, we're just going to all be leaving this up in a much better place. I think that's a good thing.
But you know my ruthless business side of that?
What's that?
I'll bet if I ever get in a race for a top talent, and I'm the guy acting that way, like truly following through, putting my money where my mouth is, I'm going to get the talent who's going to make me a stupid amount of money. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
There you go. Love it. You love it. David, you've been very kind and generous with your time. I appreciate it. Yes, so much. Keep doing up the brilliant work. And I mean that sincerely.
Thank you.
You know, you do, there's a reason outside of just, oh, there's a reason why I follow everything you do, and you've probably noticed I've got something to say usually everything I see you guys put out, because one is I believe in giving back to the industry in general. I believe in promoting the industry that I live in, grew up in, spending the rest of my life in, probably, hopefully. But I just love people that are doing it the right way. Yeah. Oh, thank you. So keep doing it. Appreciate that. All right, buddy. Hey,
you're welcome in Shiloh anytime.
Oh, I know that. I'll be in with some donuts again soon. I might not have them. I cheated last weekend on my great grandson.
That's what it's about.
I talked about. You get a little 3-year-old offers you a cupcake. I don't care what program on. Yes, I would like to. No, thank you very much. Right?
Absolutely. I tell people I go home, which I'm about to do in a couple minutes here, and I report to a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and my wife whenever they're not around.
So. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. David, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Likewise. Take care, Randy.
Yeah, you got it. Cheers. All right, man, was that like at close to an hour or some brilliant stuff again? Just love marketing, love this industry, love what the folks at Metal Exteriors are doing and what David brings to the table. So if you get a chance, if you're not doing it already, follow Metal Exteriors, follow what they do, and just go make it a great day, right? Go love what you do, do what you love, live it, love it, own it. And you know what I'm going to say, I've done it for 3 years now, make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow, let's go. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.